Praise his name. Stand with me if you'd like. Bow our heads and open the service. Father, Lord, we're truly appreciative. Lord, every opportunity truly is gracious. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would just, Lord, just give us a special blessing tonight.
Yes,
Father, as we gathered here, Lord, Lord, we desire to hear from you, hear your word. Open our understanding, Lord, in a greater way. Father, there's many things that, Lord, I know in my life, Father's, I feel I can grow in. But Lord, you know what's needed for this hour, for this time in my life, and each and every one the same. Lord, I just leave myself in your hands. Each and every one of us, Lord, we just turn ourselves over to you tonight. Bless us, correct us, guide us, whatever it may be, Lord, have your way. Lord Jesus, we ask all this in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Ain't he wonderful?
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated if you'd like. I'd like to turn our capstone books and sing out of it tonight. Start with page 15. Sing that in a while. Who am I? It's quite a thought, saints. And you think, who am I that he would think about me? For a moon or a star in his mind. It's amazing. When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelled among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame.
He would bring not my will, but
it again. Amen.
Oh, who am I that a king would lead and die for? Who am I that he would bring? Not my will, but thy Lord. The answer I may never.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Page 102, if you'd like to turn with me. Jesus, hold my hand. Amen.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. Oh, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. Oh, for I need thy life to guide day and night. Blessed Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, I.
meet you there, blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Amen. Do you want him to hold your hand every day? Amen. All this perilous time we're in, saints. Amen. Page 3. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same.
Say I love him. He said in the scriptures, by all men know my disciples, you love one another. And if we love him, we'll keep his commandments.
Amen.
That's the desire of my heart. Draw closer to him. Amen. He's wonderful. Brother Hamilton, would you like to come up? Amen. Jesus is the one. Let's sing a little chorus together.
Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. Let him have his way until the day is done. And when he speaks, you'll know dark clouds will have to go. Because he loves you so. Oh, Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. Let him have his way until the day is done. And when he speaks, you'll know dark clouds will have to go. Just because he loves you so.
Amen. Praise his name. How many have a request for him? Something on your heart? Amen. Just hold it on your heart.
I have a special request. Lost another brother yesterday, and I'd just like the church to keep her in mind to help her through this. It's two brothers she's lost in about a week and a half. So okay. I'd just like to ask church.
Amen. Yes, let's remember that. She's a precious sister. Amen. Praise his name. Brother Philip, would you like to take the request tonight?
Gracious Lord, we're just so glad, Lord, to be able to be here again tonight. Gather to worship you one more time, Lord. This hour and age we're living in, dear God, we pray tonight, Father, that if you're the only one, Lord, that we can trust, Lord, my God, we look around at everything, the way everything is, Lord, if we didn't have you, Lord, to look to trust in, Lord, what would we do, dear God? We pray tonight, Father, for the need, Lord, that the brother requested prayer for, Lord God, and you just work everything out, Lord, in such a way that we bring glory and honor unto thy name. And we pray for those tonight that might be sick and afflicted, yes, Lord, Lord, and may not be here tonight, and even may be in our midst tonight and feeling mad and feeling sick and down, Lord God, praying that you just reach down and touch them, Lord. And my God, may they know, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And you're still a healer and a provider, the one that takes care of us, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you'll meet our every spiritual need, Lord, because, dear God, in this hour, that's the greatest need that we have, Lord, is, my God, to just draw closer and closer unto you, Lord, until we can just walk hand in hand with you, Lord, and have fellowship and communion with our Holy Spirit. We pray tonight, your word as it comes forth, anoint the messenger, anoint your word as it comes forth through his mouth. My God, and anoint our ears to hear your word, Lord. And my God, whatever word you might have for us, Lord, that would strengthen us and encourage us, Lord, that may we receive it tonight. Yes. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song to make? Ask you come.
God made a promise he would one day have a wife who would reproduce and manifest his life. Now where's the lie? Where is the lie? see where's the light. It's been several years since he brought it out. Can we show him the life that he's talking about? Where's the life? Where is that life? In every circumstance, every trial we face, on the job, in our homes, when we go someplace, where's the light? Where is that light? Where's the life that he said we'd be living today? Where's the people who will yield and let him have his way? Where's the light? Where is that light? Where's the heart that is burning with a fervent desire? Where's the cry to surrender and set us on fire? Where's the light? Where is that light? It's a question that is facing every one of us today. Are we living that life, or are we running in vain? Where's the light? Where is that
stand together, if you will. Sing a little chorus. Lord, I believe. Amen. Do you believe him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Ask our brother Tim to come.
Lord, I believe. Lord,
precious Heavenly Father, we truly gathered here tonight, for Lord, we do believe you.
Yes.
And Lord, we know that you said where two or three are gathered, there in your name, there you'd be in the midst.
Amen.
And Lord, we've come tonight hungry.
Yes.
And Lord, just to let you take these few words that you've laid upon my heart. And Lord, maybe it may seem simple, and Lord, it may come across, we've heard these things many times, but Lord, somehow through the remembrance and bringing back of your word, Lord, may it strike our heart, for Lord, they truly are spirit and in his life. And Lord, it is the thing that's going to keep on taking us, Lord, and ripening us and bringing us to that fullness of the stature of Christ. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word. And Lord, just take over my mouth that it would say only those things that you would have spoken tonight. And we ask it in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Just raise your hands and sing that little chorus. I love him. Hallelujah. Amen. Opportunity to be here this evening. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, let's just turn our Bibles over to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter. Amen. Just a few thoughts that was upon my heart, and I'm praying that it doesn't seem jumbled to you, but we'll read these things and just ask the Lord to somehow pull out the things that we have need of. Yes. Dip it into our hearts a little greater. Maybe something that it might be preparedness. Maybe something I'm going to read tonight somewhere. Or maybe our pastor, through bringing the word somewhere, it'll come back and it'll go together and God will be able to put something in our hearts. Amen. To help us along. Romans, the 8th chapter, and read that. Start at the 28th verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. May the Lord bless and redeem his word. You may be seated. Amen. You know, as it's been spoken many times, you've got to make scriptures become personal to you. You can just read it. And you can read it about someone else if you'd like. But if you can see that when you can read your name into that, and when you hear the word come forth, and it begins to prick your heart and begins to grab a hold of you, and you can see that that's talking about me. And you know, I just couldn't help but think of the messages our pastor brought Sunday, and just, you know, when you look into it and you begin to think about it, and that light, that life was the light of men. Yes, and you begin to look at that and start to think about it. And then you read this scripture and you just get kind of, he predestinated them to be conformed. Yes. And I want you to think, we all know, and I believe every one of us in here believes, that God's created every tree and flower, bush, grain of a fruit tree, whatever's out here in the natural, you can look and see. We know God created that. Amen. And you can look and see that, as the oak tree's been mentioned many times, as big as it is, when it gets to be 100 years old, or, and the ones we see today may be older than that, and you can't reach your arms around them. But yet it all started in that little bitty acorn that fell into the soil. But God predestinated that little bitty acorn to be that big oak tree. And it had everything that it needed to reproduce itself laying in there. And it came forth exactly according to God's plan. Right on time, it went into the soil, and it raised up, and it might have been a little bitty twig like this, and nobody even noticed it hardly. Somebody probably walked by and kicked it with their boot. Then it grew a little more, and they probably pushed it out of their way because it maybe hit them in the face. But then someday, oh my, maybe the birds was all hanging up in the branches when it began a big mature oak tree. But it was all there because God predestinated that to be an oak tree. And it's the same way as we begin to think about this. I want you to think about it as with us. God predestinated a people, yes, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. And he didn't take a chance, as our brother was saying. It wasn't Moses' life. It wasn't as other people's life, but it was God's life. God. Amen. And I just want us to think about that, as I'm just going to read some things Brother Branham said here and just kind of let it run together for you here. But this is in the Church Age book. And just listen as he says here, and our brother mentioned this Sunday. He says, this is on page 149. He said, "The eternal thoughts of God, let me ask you, are the thoughts of God eternal?" And he says, if you can see this, you will see many things. And automatically you ought to start, your mind ought to start going back, even though it's such a simple thing. But to see a circle drawn on a chalkboard, and to see those little dots placed in that circle, and as our brother brought one time, he said, pick one of those out, and that's you. And that's how real it's got to be to you.
Amen.
That's not just a diagram, not just an illustration, but I was there. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Amen.
I was in the thoughts of God. And just listen as he begins to read here. He says, are the thoughts, and he says, if you can see this, you will see many things. And I want you to catch this. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. So no matter where that life goes, that life that was the light of men, no matter where it goes, he says, he is unchangeable, both in essence and behavior. And we have studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in his ability, so therefore, he is God, must be omniscient. And if he is omniscient, that is not now learning, nor is he taking counsel, even with himself, nor is he at any time adding to his knowledge. If he can add to his knowledge, then he's not omniscient. And the best we can say is that sometime he will be, but that is not scriptural. He is omniscient. He never had a new thought about anything, because all of his thoughts he always had and always will have.
Amen.
And as our brother was saying, this is a life you can't live yourself. You didn't just happen to come along.
No.
And I felt a draw in my heart and I decided to go to church. And I just happened to get the Holy Ghost. If there is a draw in your heart, God's never had a new thought. And no man can come to me unless the Father which calls me sent me drawing. So if that drawing was there to start with, that drawed you in, that it became a hunger, that every time you knew that word was going to be preached, there was a desire to be where that word was coming forth. And then maybe that desire drawed you to church. And maybe the first service, the 2-3 services you come, there was a rejoicing spirit. The people were glad to see you come. And the Lord, maybe the Spirit moved and you felt the wooing of the Holy Spirit and the movement, the softness and the sweetness of the Spirit. But then maybe you come to service the next time and oh, the Spirit of the Lord would move and come down and cut something out of your life. And oh, now it cut a little bit. It began to hurt. Maybe made me feel like a bad person. But something down on the inside of me didn't tell me to give up. It didn't offend me and make me walk off into the corner somewhere and pout. But there was something down on the inside of me that pushed me right back.
Yeah.
The next service when the word was going to be, there was something down inside that was driving to be there. Why? Because God, just the same as that oak tree needs rain and sunshine and moisture and good soil, God knew exactly what he had to do to bring that bride to this place she had to be. He's never had a new thought. He already knew about it. He knew the end from the beginning. Just listen. Let's read on down here. He says he never had a new thought about anything because all of his thoughts he always will have. And he knows the end from the beginning. He is God. Thus the thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They are not simply like a man with a blueprint he has drawn, but one day translated into substance and form. They are already real and eternal. Part of God. See how this works? God always had his thoughts. And for Adam, and Adam as his thoughts was yet unexpressed. Psalms 139:15-16. We'll give you a little idea of this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in countenance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That, as I said, was not written about Adam, but it gives you the idea and knowledge that the thoughts was there in his mind, and that thought was eternal and had to be expressed. So when Adam was formed, the dust of the earth, and his spiritual being created by God, then Adam became God's thought expressed, and those eternal thoughts were now manifested. And down through the centuries we could go, we find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. Each one of those were God's eternal thought expressed in its season. And then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word, that what he is and forever will be. And now it says that he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. That means we were right there with him in the mind and the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. And that gives eternal quality to that little elect.
Amen.
And I want you to think about that. You know, we look back and we see all of those great men that God used and expressed himself through. He used Moses, a clay that he saw in his mind and seeing that it would be there, formed, and he saw how it was going to take place to make it all come together, that body would be formed. And we look at all of that, and we see that, and we say, oh, look what he done through Moses. Look what he done through David. Look what he done through Samson. Look what he done through John the Baptist. But oh my, what about us? Let's bring it down a little bit closer real quick here. Let's read something here in John in the first chapter. And hopefully I'm not going to get ahead of our pastor. I just want to read this scripture because I just wanted to catch the back end of this. But John the first chapter in the sixth verse. But there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same was called for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men might believe. And he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And if you're sitting here tonight and there is something burning down inside of you, and you can feel a draw and you feel a pull when this word's coming forth as our brother's been speaking about that life, and we see the hewing that's taking place. We see that growing pains. The sun is getting hotter. It's the time for that life to be fully into maturity. Then that's proof, and it shows forth that God had you in his mind before there was ever a moon or a star. We've reached a time and place to where only that genuine elect is going to have a desire to keep moving on. When you look into this world and you see the chaos, they rejoiced when a prophet came on the scene in this last day. They rejoiced with the gifts as they come. They rejoiced with all the excitement that was in the air. There's a prophet in the land. The Lord's coming again. And all of that rejoicing went on, and the message was preached. Come, hear a message. Hear this message. Hear this message. But as that message kept coming, many began to stalemate and kind of turn back to Egypt. The things they came out of, they've leapt back into their midst. They wanted those things of Egypt, but that little bride has not got her eyes on Egypt. But she's looking forward and moving on with that light always, pressing onward. There's something inside of her. She can see the death and the carnality that lays behind. And she's not looking back, but she's got her eyes trained on a goal. And there ought to be an excitement down in her heart. And as it's sun in the harvest time, as the sun is hot and it's dry, and maybe sometimes it just seems like, oh, it's just almost an unbearing heat. But that's what it's going to take to bring this bride to maturity. And God, just as it does the natural grain, that's what we're looking for. But are we a true grain and rejoicing with that light as it's coming? Or is it burdening me down? And oh, I wished I could be like some of these other churches where people were shouting and falling over the benches. And the music's a rolling and everybody's so happy and shouting hallelujah. But oh my, there's sin in the mist. But oh my, how about this? It is the rising of the sun. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved. This was preached in 1965, April 18th, paragraph 71. What he promised to do in Christ, he proved on the resurrection. What he promised to do in the days of Moses, he proved it. And what he promised in the days of Enoch, he proved it. And all the days of the apostles, he proved it. Now watch it. He proved it. Amen. They weren't proving anything. Amen. They were just a vessel that he predestinated to be standing there that would unhouse a very part of himself inside of there. Yes. And they was going to bring forth the life. But they were just an incubator. Yes. They were just a temple of clay. Amen. But down inside of them was something laying, a control tower that was down in there. Yes. Oh my. Just think about it for a little bit. Amen. He proved it. Now in this day he proves what he said, because they are part of that seed that he represented on the book of life when he came to redeem back to God again. Oh, what a message. And on Easter morning, not only did he raise, but his beneficiaries raised with him. They were in Christ at his crucifixion. They were in him at his resurrection. We are his beneficiaries, quickened after being dead in darkness. And the darkened world of unbelief were churches and denominations and so forth that had drawn us out. And there's something in us calling, oh, we want God. We're hungering and thirsting for God. We join Methodists, Baptists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, and want more. Still, there was something wrong. We just couldn't find it yet. And all of a sudden, while we was groping in darkness, that great resurrection come to us in the manifestation of the promised word of God. Like he was the manifestation of the promised word of God. I will not leave his soul in hell, neither will I see my Holy One to suffer corruption. He manifested it. Every word that God had promised to him, he proved it when he raised on Easter morning. Now that was God. And the same God placed a portion of himself in vessels today. We look back and we see the mighty things that was done in Moses, Abraham, all of the ones, we can see it all the way up through the apostles and Peter and all in through. And we see the great work that was done through Wesley and Luther and through Pentecost. But the scripture said that they without us would not be perfect. And how God seen in this day, he could have placed you in a day back there. He could have let you be one of them that was an Israelite during the David's time. You could have been there, but God seen and predestinated you in your mind. For some reason, he saw that you had to be the vessel that had to be here today.
Amen.
And that what courage and strength we ought to take that God has been given by his grace allowed me that opportunity to stand in this day.
Amen.
A day that is so much more deceptive. We may not have to give our blood. We may not have to give our physical life as far as to get killed. But it's so much greater to be able to surrender your body as a living sacrifice, your mind, your soul, everything about you, surrender it completely and wholly to the Word.
Amen.
That he can take you over. And you can't surrender it by yourself. But it takes that predestinated seed laying down on the inside that he placed there, that he placed everything that was needed down in there, that within the ripening and the maturing of that son, it would bring forth what was laying, the original seed. Amen. Here, let's just read this here in the amen. Let me just it's Ephesians, the fifth chapter, if you want to turn. It's just a couple verses. Amen. The fifth chapter and the 25th verse, and I'm just going to catch this. But he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish.
Amen.
The church is the individuals, the called out ones. Remember that. And just that washing by the water of the word, when you take natural water and soap and a rag and you begin to scrub this old body, you're separating the dirt and the filth, the grime, the oils from your skin. And that's the same thing of being washed in the water of the word does. It's cutting a separation. It's washing away all of those things that's unlike Christ. It's a ripening. It's pulling it back. It's giving it a cleaning up job. Separating it from any unbelief. And that's as we gather here, every service, that's what God is doing. Look at the, as it comes forth greater and greater. There's many promises that lays within the scriptures. There's many of us here that may have an affliction we would like to be healed of. Maybe, but do I have enough faith to get that healing? Or does my life still condemn me? If my mind, if my conscience condemns me, if your heart condemns you not, you have what you ask for. But is there something in my life that is condemning me? Because I don't want to let that sun shine in. I'm trying to hide under a rock. I'm moving over here under a tree, trying to avoid it. But oh, if we would just get into the presence and lay out into that sun and say, Lord, here am I. I'm opening up myself. I'm opening up my, I don't want no thought against it. I'm totally laying out here. Lord, here am I. And don't have no thought about it, but take what he says and say amen to the word.
Amen.
And let him lead and guide it right through. It'll bring exactly what he said would happen in this day. This is in Turn on the Light, preached 64, January 25th. Amen. He said page 10, the sunlight is sent to the earth in the natural to ripen the grain for the advancing harvest. And each day brings a new sun. And the sun that's shining today, bringing the wheat up in Canada, that same sun, well, if it didn't have no more sun than that, this coming sun, well, this coming July or August, it would never ripen the grain. It's got to be stronger and more powerful each day it grows and matures to bring that grain on. And if that grain itself, if it begins to mature, the grain comes on, it stays right with the grain. And it only builds the grain. Each day, the husk around it, the part, calcium, whatever goes in it, builds right into the grain as the sun gets stronger. But you take the sun that shines in August and you put it on the wheat today, it would kill it, certainly. You can't do that. It must come in its season. So must God's wheat and grain ripen just in the season that it's in. How could a sun, a wheat would die, the fruits would die. By the sun that lives today and shines today, rather, its oncoming harvest is ripening and the grain should mature with the light. And he said, but that's the thing. The church, again, don't want to mature. It wants to stay in its, in Moody's time. Shanky, Finney, Knox, and Calvin, they're all right, but they were the light of that hour. But this is another hour. This is another day. This is the advancement of the gospel. It's coming to its maturity. We can't live in what Luther said, Wesley said, or some of the rest of them. We're living in the light that's predicted for this day, and we're in the seventh church age, not the third or the fourth church age. The grain should be able to receive it, and if it doesn't, it falls off and it means nothing. But the grain is matured with the light, and it, as it goes ahead with the light. And how we see that is the sun is beginning to shine hotter, and as the word is honed down, and the Lord sent the prophet to bring this word into its fullness, and it's that it was so perfect and precise. And then he laid it on the prophet's heart to say, bring it and say what I said. Preach what I said. And how when you see that word presented in the way that it was brought and preached just the way it was said, look at the life that comes with that word. But there's no life in it when it's been twisted and turned aside because it can't bring forth nothing because it's been taken out of its original state. But oh my, when it stays in continuity, when it stays right the way God placed it, you watch that sun begin, watch that grain ripen. That grain's right in time, and it'll bring it right out. Let a man mix his creed in it, and look where things go. But God knows all about that little seed. He knows every time. You may look at our lives, and we say, I don't understand why I went through that. I don't understand why I had to go there. I don't understand why this had to happen to me. But God knows everything. When he predestinated you, he saw every footstep you'd ever take. And he knew what it would take to bring these bodies to where he could use them for his glory and his honor. Just as he did with Pharaoh, he said, I'm going to get me glory upon Pharaoh. Amen. And through you and I, as that little elected bride, he's going to get his glory. Not your glory, not my glory, but it's going to be his glory shining forth. Just as it was when Moses spoke and they knew that wasn't Moses speaking. Those people knew Moses couldn't do that. But God was expressed when those waters rolled back. Amen. This is in the message, trying to do God a service without it being his will. This was preached in July of 1865 here. He says, paragraph 39, we notice God reveals his word in his own predestinated season. How could Martin Luther note about the message today? How could the Presbyterians... Or the Catholic Church know Martin Luther's message? How could John Wesley know Luther's message? How could Wesley know the Pentecostal message? Or how would the Pentecostal know this message? See, he reveals it in his seasons because it's a seed. And as it grows, it matures and it reveals himself. Like the heat of the sun to open up when it's tender and young and bring out of the ground the seed, then it gives its leaves in another stage of sun. Hot sun will kill it if it's ripening seed or ripening time. So he regulates the sun, and he regulates nature to meet his word, and he regulates the church, the predestinated, the bride, to meet the season that they are living in. Even nature itself tells us today, as we see nations breaking and the earth sinking and the handwriting is on the wall, we see the church in the state that it's in, and we see the bride in the state she is in, and we know by nature that the church is getting ready to leave. What a glorious time. It's the time that all those prophets long to see, this hour. And he reveals his word only in its season. Martin Luther read the same Bible we did. Listen for this just for a moment. Martin Luther read the same Bible we did. Wesley read the same Bible Martin Luther did. And the Pentecostals read the same Bible we read. And Jesus read the same Bible the Pharisees read. But they trying to keep the corn in the early stage when it was ripening, they failed to see their hour. God reveals his word in the season to whom he chooses to reveal it. And God chooses who he will reveal it to. And think about that. They read the same Bible. And we've all read the same Bible. But if God doesn't roll back those pages, we've all read the same books. We read them over and we read them over. But if God doesn't open our understanding, we're never mature with that ripening of the grain. There, some will grow higher, and some will keep moving on, and maybe the rest of us will get stagnant. But may we cry out to God that there would be an energetic excitement down in our hearts that little bride, as Brother Branham preached the message once more, Lord, that's not a revival for everyone, but that little elect, that's still burning down in her heart once more, Lord, just keep it. And it's not a dying thing, but it's an everyday burning thing in there. Lord, I've got to reach that height. Lord, it's got to be more like you. I see those heights.
Yes.
And there's a higher rung in Christ, but do we see it? Or is the sun too hot and I don't want to get out where I can let it really show me and ripen me? Or am I just happy to still, I'm going to church. I believe this message. I'm waiting on a rapture. But the promises that still lay in that Bible that could be fulfilled and manifested.
Amen.
Because that's where we're at. The grain must manifest that it's grain.
Amen.
It's a ripening. When that shuck begins to pull back off of that grain, it's right there. There's no more wondering if it's a wheat or a tare.
Yes.
Its grain is exposed.
Amen.
And showing exactly what's laying in there.
Amen.
And that's the stage we're in. Am I ripening to that stage? Can people see that life, that light shining forth from me that is Jesus Christ, as our brother was speaking about Sunday? Amen. It ought to cause an excitement in our hearts.
Amen.
I ought to be excited to come in and be washed by that water of the word.
Amen.
I ought to be excited to come in and have things separated from my life. It ought to cause, yes, it hurts. Yes, it shows up my dark spots and I see where I'm short. But what an excitement it ought to be.
Amen.
And oh, and we're crying out for more. Lord, shine down on me with your word and let it brighten and ripen. But God predestinated that bride to be here. He predestinated everyone down through the ages for the time and place that they have fulfilled. And it's our turn. It's our turn to be there. Can I see my name written? That as many as he is receiving, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I can do nothing in myself, but through Christ I can do all things.
Amen.
Oh my, do we see what God is doing and showing us in this hour? You sisters could come to the instruments if you would. But saints, it's growing time. We're maturing. And the sun's hotter. But is it burnt in our hearts, burning and crying out? You know, you can't smother that little life. You know, oftentimes we see the lateness of the hour. Maybe we've got children and we'd like to get them in. But if that predestinated seed's not laying down in there, there's nothing I can do, nothing you can do. But we must nurture them and raise them in the way that they should go. But I want to, just for an assurance, I just laid it down here. But if there's life inside there, maybe you got a loved one you want to see come in. Maybe you, right now it looks like they're in a mess. They're in this, they're out in that. But if there's elected seed of God's laying somewhere, he's watching over it.
Amen.
And he knows exactly where and when.
Amen.
To put it into that.
Amen.
Place where it needs to be. But he says, if you lay the concrete, this is in the message, I am the resurrection and the life. November 8, 1963. If you laid a concrete walk down through your yard on top of the grass, where's the most the next summer when most of the grass had right around the sides of that walk? Why? It's that life that was laying beneath that concrete. And when it comes springtime, though a rock laying on it, it will not hide it. That life will weed its way right through. And that's what makes so much grass around the edge of the walk. You can't hide life. It has to come up because God has put the sun over this botany life and it controls botany life. And if he put the SU in over botany life, then he put his SO in over eternal life. So if there was a resurrection for the flower because it served God's purpose, how much more has he made a way for a man? You know there's a way for a man to come forth too. But the SUN, it brings forth botany life because it controls that and you cannot hide it and it must come up. But there is an SON of God that's controlling human life, eternal life. And if we are serving God's purpose, a son and daughter of God, when that time is shaped up for the SON of God to come, you could not hide that life as all nature speaks of it.
Amen.
Now he was speaking here about that life if you was to die and go be buried. He was preaching a funeral. But it's the same when that little gene is laying down on the inside of there. You can pile creeds on top of it. You can put doctrines on top of it. You can try to cover it up in sin out in the world. But if God ever put a destined piece of life in there, one time in the right condition, let the light of God shine across that. Watch the SON draw it right up out of there. Oh, no matter how many creeds was tried to pile on top of it, but you watch God pull it up out of that. If it's God's elected seed.
Amen.
You look at Paul. Satan thought he had Paul, who was Saul back in the day. He thought he had him all tied up in theology. But when God once shined that light down in his path, look at the change that took place in his life. And God still lives to prove that he can change anyone's life. And we may sit here and really truly need our life changed, even though we're sitting in church. And he's still here to do it once you get in the right condition to where he can put you in the right spot at the right time. And may we truly cry out that if I see I'm short, if I see these things in my life, Lord, help me. Before it's too late, that, Lord, that life would be expressed. Yes. That it would be shown and evident that I would be to your glory, Lord, that that life is living through me. But oh, what a day we're living in, saints. What a time when you can see all that's going on around us and the chaos and you see all the things that we've heard about all of our life. And you can see that it's truly coming to a close. You can see the shaping up for war. You can just see it all building. And it's like little kids playing puppets back and forth. But oh my, there's going to be a rapture. And by God's grace, we've been given the word to show us the light of this day. We've been able to place ourselves, and we have the opportunity now to make sure that I'm lining up 100% in that word. But let's be certain that we're lining up 100% and taking it into consideration. Lord, shine greater down into my heart. And make sure, because it shows, saints, our very desires, our motives, our objectives for everything that we do must be filtered through that word.
Amen.
Amen. I pray there'll be something that's been said that'll help us along the way, encourage us, maybe cause us to dig in a little deeper, pay a little more attention to the things that are being coming forth. There's a reason for these things. There's things, though they may seem simple, and maybe you say, I've heard that, but if we could only catch the revelation of it,
Amen.
The exact things. Oh my, let's all stand if you would. Amen. You know, I just think of Jesus walking down the road with those two disciples and how he was telling them all the things that they already knew. But oh, once he opened their eyes, then it was a reality. Amen. May God open our hearts and our eyes to see. Amen. Anyone got a course on your heart? Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Josh?
I just think that song, God still moves.
Amen. Hallelujah. God
still moves.
Amen.
God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves. He does not sleep.
Amen.
Or does he sleep?
What he said.
Amen.
Scriptures was read. Everything that was spoken.
Amen.
If we could just catch something, saints, the reality. You know, we hear messages that cuts us, tears us to pieces, remolds us, makes us to what God wants us to be. And we hear so much about life. Life of Jesus Christ. And we know that has to be it. We know it cannot be nothing else but the literal life of Jesus Christ. Manifested. That's the little key I want you to think about the next couple of days. Manifested. If that life isn't manifested, I mentioned this Sunday, but if that life is not manifesting in my life as an individual, regardless of what I feel I believe, or what my trust lays in, what I say I can understand, but unless that life personally can be seen by myself in my life, that Bible means nothing to me. There isn't a promise in that Bible that means anything. But that manifested life is the key.
Amen.
From Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
And if a man or a woman can get the full reality of that,
amen.
Oh my,
yes.
Then it can be every promise in the book,
amen.
Is mine.
Amen.
Every chapter, every verse, every line. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And wouldn't you want to see that every promise a living reality in you?
Amen.
That when truly... If you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and doubt it not, it shall be done.
Amen.
You shall cast out devils.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
But you have absolutely no assurance of that belonging to you personally until you can see that life manifested in you. Remember, without that token, these promises don't belong to us. Huh?
Amen.
That's how these promises belong to us. And what was that token? The literal life of Jesus Christ. Sure, it has to be manifested.
Amen.
But it's just a quote.
Amen.
But when it becomes manifested,
amen.
Lord, one Sunday, I pray that you'll pray for me. You pray. Ask God to open our understanding to the Word of God,
amen.
That already lays there.
Amen.
It's a reality.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. God still moves.
Amen.
Amen. God still moves.
God still moves. In the heart of His children, God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does He slumber. God still moves. God still moves.
Bow our heads.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so precious.
Amen.
You're just so wonderful. Truly, as it's been said before, I can remember old saints that's gone on before. Lord, that's been in fellowship with us before. And they've gone home. But I can remember so vividly, Lord, different ones saying, just doesn't seem to be words to be able to express how great you are, how wonderful you are, and how tremendously you can do everything that you do. You do everything with such precision, everything so precise. And Lord, you're still moving. Still moving with the same precision,
yes.
Yes. Same perfection.
Amen.
Yes. Lord, help us to see everything we need to see.
Amen.
Give us reality of every word.
Yes.
Lord, I can't help but to think so many times, probably not too many days go by, Lord, that I don't think about it. But Father, as your prophet said, pray for revelation. More than anything else in this life. And truly, Lord, there'll be no doubt this is Thursday evening and we've got Friday and this is Saturday and then into Sunday morning. If you should tarry, this is. And Lord, we've got a couple days there now. And many things can happen. Time holds many devices of life. But Lord Jesus, even though we may be sick, or we may be afflicted, or though there may be something else arise, some great test or trial, and Lord, we may need help getting through it. But Lord Jesus, I pray the greatest thing to us will still be, I need revelation. more than anything else in this life. Because we realize, Lord, that you've shown us in your word that if a man or a woman can live by faith, oh Lord, all things are possible to them that believe.
Amen.
To them who've been called according to your purpose, Lord. Predestinated, as our brother spoke of. Lord Jesus, help us now. Bless this little people. Bless me, Lord. Help us all to come unto thee, O God, completely. That, Lord Jesus, we can see you on the scene every day of our life. You making the decisions and you leading and guiding through every circumstance in life. Help us, Lord. Each one of us just want to renew ourselves to you tonight. We just want to commit ourselves to you, Lord, in a greater way. Asking, Lord, for your help. For we can do nothing in ourselves. Nothing, Lord. You spoke it yourself. When you was in flesh, you could do nothing unless the Father showed you. Lord, may we be the same. We can do nothing unless, Lord Jesus, you show us. You guide us and lead us. Then we know it's you, Lord. And that's what we're interested in, seeing you on the scene. You in our lives. You taking over. And Lord, this Bible, Lord, it'll become a new Bible. Oh, Lord, the message of the hour will become a new message of the hour. Oh God, in our lives, be reality. Thank you now, Lord. Bless each one of us as we depart from this little place. And truly, Lord, may we take thy holy presence with us everywhere we go. And again, Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. Forgive us, Lord, if we've let you down. Forgive us, Lord, if we've been slowful. Lord, give us strength to rise up. Oh God, rise up to thee, oh God. In your precious name, we ask these things. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God still moves. God still moves in the heart of his children. God still moves. He does not sleep, nor does he slumber. God still moves. God still moves.
Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
May God bless you.